The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hey folks, I challenge you to think of at least one thing you no longer do that you wish you could. Do you miss like playing golf, maybe long walks with your spouse, sleeping through the night? Are you ready to start living without pain? My colleagues and friends, Hugh Hewitt, Dennis Prager, Mike Gallagher, have been talking about their own successful experience with Relief Factor, and you can add Eric Metaxas to that list. Relief Factor is changing the lives of tens of thousands of Salem radio listeners by reducing and even eliminating daily aches and pains. ReliefFactor.com is full of great success stories, and now I am on board. For just $19.95, Relief Factor is offering a three-week quick start that could help you live your life with little to no pain. Go to ReliefFactor.com to see testimonials from folks all over the country. I love reading them. Over 70% of those that try Relief Factor continue as a customer. Feel the relief and get back your independence and freedom from the aches and pains of everyday life. Go to ReliefFactor.com. Read the testimonies. I tell all my relatives to take it. ReliefFactor.com.
Texas Show.
People tell me that since I'm the announcer, it's not about me, Todd Wilkerson. They say that my job is to serve the host of the show, Eric Metaxas.
What nonsense. I've known Eric for years, and you can take it from me. You just can't depend on him.
Mark my words, one day you'll blink and he'll be gone.
Off to fleece the next group of suckers.
But I'll always be here, no matter what, right here for you. Put your feet up and tell me all about it. Oh, yeah. And now your host,
if he's even still showing up,
Eric Metaxas.
Hey, folks, this is a special episode of the Eric Metaxas Show. We are airing a conversation I had at Socrates in the City with the scientist and author Stephen Meyer. It is absolutely spectacular. Tune in, please.
Given infinite time, anything can happen. In other words, if I flip a coin and it lands on its side, people go, ooh. But they know it can happen sometimes. It'll happen. If I flip a coin 10,000 times, once or twice or whatever, that it'll happen. But if I flip it again and it lands on its side a second time, you'd be a little weirded out. What's the trick? If I did it a third time and I sat here for 20 minutes and every time I flipped a dime, it landed on its side, everyone would say, something's going on. This doesn't make sense. But somebody might say, look, mathematically, given an infinite number of time, it is possible that that would happen in infinity. So what really changed all of this, it seems to me, is the Big Bang Theory that said we no longer have infinite time. We only have whatever it is, 12 or 15 billion years. So at what point did the Big Bang Theory grab a hold, generally speaking, and began to freak out the scientists who'd pinned everything on infinite time?
That's a great question. Quick little sidelight is that that's absolutely right. You know, that established what is called a limit on the probabilistic resources, the number of tries you would have to win the biological cosmic lottery, if you will. There's another aspect of that, and Dr. Turer will probably talk about this tomorrow in his talk, and that is that chemically speaking, time is actually not your friend. That if you're lucky enough to get some molecules to arrange themselves into something that's moving in the right direction of life, all the other processes at work are going to swamp that and unwind that before you get any further. And he'll explain more about how the chemistry of that works. But the chance-based argument is suspect for two reasons. One, time isn't your friend. It works against the chemical synthesis of life. But also, there's a limit to the amount of time, and that's absolutely right. In both of my books, I look carefully at the mathematics of this. And I have an illustration I like to use of a bike lock. If you've got a four dial lock, right, and I often ask the audience, well, if you have a thief, is it more likely that he'll crack the code or not? And they'll say, oh, well, four dial lock, it's unlikely. Well, unless the thief has enough time to sample more than half of the combinations. So you always have to assess how many, if you're assessing the plausibility of a random search for an informational sequence,
right.
You have to know how many opportunities you have
right.
versus the complexity of the sequence. It turns out when you do the math, both in the prebiotic case and in the biological case, that is, even assuming you've got life to start with and now the Darwinian mechanism of mutation and selection takes over, in both cases, you don't have the probabilistic resources necessary to build even standard-length functional proteins. That there's so many possible combinations that have to be searched that there's not enough time in a random search to succeed.
So the larger idea, and I know some folks are tracking and maybe some aren't, but the idea is that many of us have heard this idea. I don't know who said it, but somebody once said that, you know, if you have you probably know it more exactly than I do, but, you know, monkeys typing on typewriters, right, randomly hitting random stuff. Eventually, given enough time, randomly they would produce the works of William Shakespeare. Because it just has to happen randomly, right? You know, that if a monkey just goes like this, at some point, maybe it takes years, but words will randomly come together. So what we're really dealing with here is the idea that you're saying, I want to make sure that I'm clear on this, that you're saying that what is in DNA is so complex, it's like a library of books. So it's not like a monkey that would just, you know, random, and it's like, oh, he just typed the word the. Oh, he just typed the word cat. We're talking about 50 novels by Dickens and Tolstoy. We're talking about something so complex that you're saying that science now knows that there could never have been enough time.
It's the calculations that I show that it's more likely that a random search for a new gene sequence capable of building a new functional protein will, it's overwhelmingly more likely that such a search would fail than it would that it would succeed, given all the possible opportunities there are for such a search to occur since the first life till now. So it's still, you know, remember Jim Carrey in that film, you know, he asks the girl to go out and he says, what are the chances that a girl like me and a guy like you could get together? And
right,
he misses
right.
his pickup line and she says, not good. And he says, what do you mean? You know, like one in a hundred? And she says, no, one in a million, buddy. And then he starts jumping up and down and says, oh, so there's a chance. There's
right,
a chance.
Right.
Okay, there's always a chance.
Right.
But the question is it more likely that a random search would succeed or fail? And we can show conclusively that it's more likely that it will fail. And therefore, the idea that natural selection plus random mutation is the means by which new information was generated is also more likely to be false than true. And in science, we prefer not to have more likely to be false
right.
hypotheses, and we prefer more likely to be true hypotheses.
The most fascinating part of what you just said to me is that somebody could be as smart as you and still watch Jim Carrey movies. isn't that the big takeaway? That's the surprise. It's incredible. Okay, so I have a question. Your book is called The Return of the God
right,
Hypothesis.
Right.
Okay, so to frame this, you have been one of the creators and proponents of this thing called intelligent design, which says the universe looks designed. Science tells us that it looks designed. From the more we know, the more it doesn't look like it just evolved randomly, right? But intelligent design never posits who the designer might be. And that's why you have felt comfortable, and others, Behe and Dembski, saying that it's science. We're just telling you what science tells us, and science tells us it looks designed. We're not telling you who did the designing. That's not our business. We're scientists. Is that reasonably accurate?
Roughly the case. The theory of intelligent design, brief definition, is the idea that there are certain features of living systems in the universe that are best explained by a designing intelligence as opposed to a purely undirected material process.
Okay.
In my writing about the design that we see in life, I have to this point not tried to make a case for the identity of the designer, because there are two possibilities if you're just talking about biology. Life arises well after time equals zero, after the beginning of the universe. So it's at least logically possible that there could be some imminent form of intelligence, an intelligence in the universe that might be responsible for the evidence of design that we see in cells and animals and so forth.
And I've never heard that hypothesis. I'm not kidding.
Well, you know who's actually proposed it is Richard Dawkins has mentioned this, and so did Francis Crick. Dawkins did it maybe in an unguarded moment when he was being interviewed by Ben Stein in the film Expelled.
Right.
And he suggested maybe it was a space alien or some agent within the cosmos seeded life to planet Earth.
Right.
Crick actually wrote this up as a semi-serious proposal in a book in 1980. He got so much pushback, he said, I'm never going to talk about the origin of life again.
Right.
It's just too hard a problem. But I've never been persuaded by that idea, because even if you posit a prior intelligence in the cosmos, then you still have the information problem all over again. Where'd you get the information to build that?
Who made the alien?
Right.
Folks, this is a Socrates in the City event that we're airing on the Eric Metaxas Show. My guest is Dr. Stephen Meyer. There are people around the world whose lives you can change who have absolutely no freedom. They are literally enslaved by fundamentalist Muslim. You can do something about it. You have to go to MetaxasTalk.com. That's our website. Or you can call this number right now. You can call the number 888-253-3522, 888-253-3522, 888-253-3522. God bless you as you give. Baby,
guys, waking up over and over to urinate is not okay. But now, you can reduce those nighttime bathroom trips with the ingredients in Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced. We're talking about less urges to urinate at night, less bathroom trips during the day, and better bladder emptying.
It's like taking three prostate supplements in one.
You can try a full 30-day bottle of P3 Advanced, free. Just pay shipping and handling. No strings attached, no obligations, and no commitments to buy. This is a 30-day supply, absolutely free.
Call 1-800-424-8908.
Super Beta Prostate is the best-selling brand in major retailers like Walmart. But for this no-strings-attached free bottle, you must call now.
Call 1-800-424-8908.
Don't miss out on this unprecedented free offer.
1-800-424-8908. 1-800-424-8908.
You know I love AMAC. I love what they stand for. Smaller government. I love the value they pass on to their members. A fantastic endorsed partner of AMAC are my good friends at Pure Talk USA. Just like how AMAC wants to take the pork barrel out of government, Pure Talk wants to trim the fat off your wireless bill. Here's the deal. If you're an AMAC member or a new customer, you're eligible for wireless plans for as little as $10 a month. $10 a month. And if you're an AMAC member, Pure Talk will add 3 years to your AMAC membership for free. Stop overpaying for wireless. Make the switch to Pure Talk USA. Their network covers 99% of Americans. Their customer service is based in the U.S. and they're veteran run. You can even keep your phone and your number. Get talk, text, and data for as little as $10 a month when you dial #250 and say the keyword Mike Gallagher. That's all. Dial #250 and say Mike Gallagher. They make it so easy to switch. #250, promo code Mike Gallagher, Pure Talk USA. Simply smarter wireless.
Ike was such a sweet, lovable animal, and people would want to pet him, and they'd come up and they'd get close to him, and it would be this instant, oh! My dad didn't want to touch him. It's like, ooh, get the stinky dog away from me.
Even after we'd give her a bath, she would still stink.
Very stinky, both bad breath and bad gas.
I asked the vet, and he said, some dogs are just stinky.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy? Come to Dynavite for help.
Dinovite.com.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
The digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
The ingredients convinced me that it was definitely worth trying. After about a week, he started smelling normal. My husband and I were really kind of astonished.
Dynavite is nutrition.
859-428-1000.
Dinovite.com.
I needed new blinds. I knew I could save a ton of money if I put them in myself, but I was nervous about measuring right and then installing them. That's why I went to Blinds.com. I'd heard their ads on the radio, how they're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. But I still had to install them. So I called in my design consultant, Carla. She talked me through it all, from picking the right blinds to installing them. Plus, the online design consultation was free. Samples were free. Shipping was free. My home looks perfect.
Reinventing yourself in the new year starts at home. Breathe fresh new life into your home this year with brand new custom window treatments from Blinds.com. From cellular shades to wood blinds to Roman shades and more. Go to Blinds.com now through January 28th and save up to 40% on everything. Plus, get an extra $20 off with promo code PRAGER. That's up to 40% on everything. Plus, get an extra $20 off with promo code PRAGER. Blinds.com, promo code PRAGER. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Folks, this is a Socrates in the City event that we're airing on the Eric Metaxas Show. My guest is Dr. Stephen Meyer.
I've always said that the theory of intelligent design is based on scientific evidence, but it has theistic implications. It seems it fits better in a theistic worldview. But I've also long, since that conference in 1985, been interested in the cosmology and the physics. And I've done a deep dive on the biology for the last 10 or 15 years. And I wanted to get back to this, that initial presentation I heard from Alan Sandage and some of those scientists, and explore what the physics and the cosmology can tell us about the identity of the designer. Because if you just think about another evidence of design, and you've written about this, you had that wonderful piece in the Wall Street Journal around Christmas time in 2014 about all the fine-tuning of the universe. The laws of physics are finely tuned to allow for the possibility of life. The initial conditions of the universe are finely tuned. The expansion rate of the universe. We have this kind of Goldilocks universe where everything is just right to allow for the possibility of life. But that's built into the cosmos from the very beginning. It's built into the fabric of the laws of nature. No alien being or no immanent being within the cosmos can be responsible for the laws of physics that make its very existence possible and which preceded its origin back to the very Big Bang.
Okay, so just so we're tracking, you were, first, when we're talking about the origin of life, theoretically, we're talking about something that happened less than 4 billion years ago, because that's our sense, unless we're young Earth creationists, our sense would be that the Earth
was... Either way, long after the beginning of the universe.
Okay. Right. But so now what you're talking about when you say cosmology, you're talking about that moment many, many more billions of years before, whatever. What's the guess these days?
13.8
billion. I knew that. So you're saying that in that moment, okay, this is many, many billions of years before the Earth existed in any form, when the universe expanded out of nothing, which is what scientists say, in that moment, it appears to have been pre-designed.
It was a setup job.
To become what it is.
Well,
so this is part of why you're saying that even if you look at that, it becomes more, or I should say, when you look at that, in addition to the difficulty of the origin of life being explained, the difficulty of everything existing being explained. So
one of our other colleagues will be speaking tomorrow is Jay Richards, and he's written a lot on the fine tuning. There's one particular clip of his in a science documentary where he explains this beautifully. There are two types of fine tuning. One has to do with the strength of the physical laws and these numbers that physicists represent. They're called the universal constants. So if gravity were a little stronger, a little weaker, if electromagnetism were a little stronger, a little weaker, if the ratio between these forces were a little off, life would be impossible. And they're exquisitely finely tuned. One in 10 to the 40th power or more, with these. So
it's actually loony.
It's loony. Engineers here would be familiar with the concept of tolerances. These are incredibly tiny tolerances. But then there's another type of fine tuning, which has to do with the arrangement of matter and energy at the beginning of the universe. And to get these stable, orderly things we call galaxies that can host planetary systems, the Oxford physicist, Roger Penrose has calculated that the fine-tuning of the original configuration of matter would have had to be exquisitely finely tuned. The number he came up with in his calculations was one in one part to the 10 to the 10 to the 123. You can fill a universe with the zeros after that number.
What?
It's what they call a hyper-exponential fine-tuning.
So, okay.
And that's like getting all the matter and energy in just the right place so it will unfold to make stable galaxies.
Okay. So this is completely separate from the four constants.
Right, being, that's a different issue, but okay. Those are also fine-tuned.
Right, well, I'll say. So the question becomes, Stephen, what does the scientific establishment do? In other words, I made the case, and I'll talk about it tomorrow morning, that the more science knows, the more painful it is to put forward the hypothesis that it just happened randomly. In other words, it becomes less and less and less and less and less and less possible to believe that it happened randomly. Now, that's the science. So why doesn't the scientific establishment own up to that? Or what do they do with that? In other words, what you're saying, that they wouldn't necessarily argue with it. It's the conclusion that they don't like.
Some of the physicists have definitely seen the design implications right from the beginning. One of the first physicists to discover a crucial fine-tuning parameter was Fred Hoyle, the famous astrophysicist, who was himself at the time a really committed atheist. And he discovered all the fine-tuning parameters that were necessary to make it possible to build carbon in the universe, which turns out to be necessary to make long-chain-like molecules, which are necessary to make life. And he was so blown away with the precision of these fine-tuning parameters that he said a common-sense interpretation of the data suggests that a super intellect has monkeyed with physics as well as chemistry and biology to make life possible.
The atheist admitted this.
Right, and he near the end of his career, he's very much... I met him when I was in grad school, and he was actually very, very sympathetic to the intelligent design idea in biology by that time as well.
Now, he's, by the way, the man who gave us the term the Big Bang.
Well, it was a pejorative term. He was trying to ridicule it because he didn't want the Big Bang to be true because, as you said, it implied that there was a beginning to the universe and a creation of it.
I didn't know that.
So he was really all in the tank for scientific materialism.
Right.
But the fine-tuning evidence just completely turned him around. There are many other great physicists who have seen the fine-tuning evidence. The most commonsensical way to interpret it, the most natural way to interpret it, is that fine-tuning requires a fine-tuner.
Right.
But other physicists really dedicated to this scientific materialist worldview have posited alternative explanations, the most popular of which today is that the idea that there's a gabillion other universes out there, sometimes called the multiverse, so many, in fact, that it would be necessary at some point for some universe to get exactly the right combination of factors to make life possible. It's winning the cosmic lottery idea.
And even I know that that's incredibly dumb. That is, it's funny because sometimes, angry atheists, whatever, have used this term, the flying spaghetti monster, to talk about God and stuff. And I thought to myself, to believe that there is an infinite number of universes or some outrageous number of universes in order to explain why this one just happened to be perfect, right? It's kind of like saying, like, if I have a lock with four... what do you call it on them? You know, four
clicks, yeah,
four clicks or whatever it is. Yeah. I've got a lock like that, and somebody just walks into a room and just gets it just like that. And you say, well, there were 10,000 of those locks, and they were all random, and one of them just, you know, it just so happens that it happened to be the right one.
I used to do this as a gag in my classes. I'd pass around a lock to illustrate why does fine tuning trigger the design inference. And I'd pass a lock around to the students and tell them that what I was trying to demonstrate was that chance would be an implausible way of explaining the fine-tuning. Because one way to represent the fine-tuning is with a series of dials that are all set just right.
Right.
So I'd pass the lock around to student 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I get to student 6 or 7, and the student would pop the lock open. And then students would then start with catcalls and sort of hooting like, aha, we showed you up, prof, chance can do it. But then invariably, someone in the class would say, wait a minute, was he for real? Was that a plant? Was that a setup job? And then they'd start to accuse me. And then I'd go, moi? Why would I do something like that? And then,
who, moi?
Yeah. But they knew I had a reputation for gags in class. And they would make a design inference because they realized that not only was the event improbable, but it was functionally specified to do something.
Well, and also the idea that we have an innate sense when something doesn't make sense,
right?
And what we're talking about now, a lock with four of these dials, the universe, it's like a lock with
big exponentially
with billions
numbers
and
of
billions
dials.
And billions and billions and billions of dials.
Right.
Folks, you're listening to my Socrates in the City conversation with Stephen Meyer. This is the Eric Metaxas Show. There are people around the world whose lives you can change who have absolutely no freedom. They are literally enslaved by fundamentalist Muslims who don't believe in the kinds of rights that we have. You can do something about it. You have to go to MetaxasTalk.com. That's our website. Or you can call this number right now. You can call the number 888-253-3522, 888-253-3522. Everyone who gives is entered in our contest to win our grand prize. There are five grand prizes, so it doesn't matter what you give. And also, more importantly, whatever you give is going to free slaves in the Sudan. 888-253-3522. God bless you as you give.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. Donald Trump has become the first U.S. president to attend the annual March for Life rally in person. He took the stage to address tens of thousands of pro-life Americans ahead of their annual march in Washington. The president told the crowd that, quote, unborn children have never had a stronger defender in the White House. Today in the Senate, House impeachment managers are devoting their final day of arguments to the second of their articles of impeachment against President Trump. The Trump impeachment team will begin its presentation tomorrow as scheduled, but late word is that they'll only go about 2 hours before resuming on Monday. Investigators say the tanker plane that crashed and killed its three American crew members as they fought wildfires in Australia had just dropped liquid to suppress those wildfires. The crew members were from Montana, Arizona, and Florida. This is SRN News.
If you're in HR, you're probably wearing a lot of hats. Recruiter, team builder, trainer, mediator, policymaker, and of course, paper pusher. But not anymore. Bamboo HR is the number one HR software for small and medium businesses. It manages all your employee data easily and automates countless tasks so you can focus on people, not paperwork. Bamboo HR frees you from spreadsheets so you can do your real job, creating a great place to work. If the data shuffle and paperwork mountain have you ready to hang up all your hats, you're ready for Bamboo. If you handle HR records and paperwork, Bamboo HR is a dream. Let us free up your time and put your days of pushing paperwork behind you so you can focus on the people and making your company a great place to work for everyone. Try PC Magazine's top pick for HR software free today. Just go to bamboohr.com/HR. This is a limited offer, only available to radio listeners at bamboohr.com/HR. That's bamboohr.com/HR.
Paging Rhonda Howard, maiden name Jensen. See the agent at gate 6.
These days, it seems like we're hearing about another data breach all the time.
Jose Navarro, login JONAV03, gate 6, please.
And if your private info has been breached, it's almost like it's being broadcast to identity thieves.
Brenda Lawson, bank account number 00404891, report to gate 6.
Good thing there's LifeLock identity theft protection to detect a wide range of threats you might miss on your own. If there's a problem, a U.S.-based specialist will work to fix it.
Travis Matthews, social security number 55168...
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock helps look out for you, whether or not your information is exposed in a breach. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year by using promo code SMART at LifeLock.com. That's promo code SMART for 25% off. Terms apply.
Snow, cement. Someone called us Babylon.
tracking down the hours. But where were all your shoulders when we cried? Were the darlings on the sideline dreaming of...
Hey folks, you're listening to a special edition of the Eric Metaxas Show. We're airing a conversation I had on a Socrates in the City event with the scientist Stephen Meyer.
So you're telling us that the most plausible explanation that scientists are making is that, oh, yeah, there are an infinite number of universes. The reason I find that hilarious is that there is literally no evidence for that.
There can't be.
These
are other universes beyond our own.
Right. And yet... scientists who believe it must be evidence that leads us to our conclusions, only evidence, are nonetheless positing this because they're so uncomfortable with the concept of a designer.
Right. There's a wonderful physicist in Cambridge named John Polkinghorne, who was one of the pioneers in advancing this fine-tuning design argument.
Yeah.
And in his wonderful British understated way, I got to interview him one time, as you're doing with me. I wasn't nearly as funny, but he said, well, I don't say that the atheists are stupid. I just say that theism provides a more satisfying explanation. And there's another reason for that, and that I explore in my book in some detail. So I take this multiverse hypothesis. I take it very seriously, take it on as an alternative explanation. But it turns out that in order for you to have a plausible multiverse hypothesis, you have to have some mechanism for generating all the other universes. If these other universes were just out there and they had no connection to us at all,
right,
then they wouldn't affect the probabilities in our universe. In order to portray them as the outcome of a giant lottery, there must be some kind of common cause, some universe-generating mechanism that's responsible for all the different universes, all the proliferation
of
the same.
Okay, now you're hurting my head, so you got
to
stop.
Okay. I'm right to almost to the payoff.
Okay. All right.
Okay, and everyone will get this.
Okay.
Turns out that the universe-generating mechanisms themselves have to be finely tuned to produce new universes.
Oh.
So in order to explain the fine-tuning, you have to invoke a mechanism that requires still prior fine-tuning.
That is hilarious.
And that's why it is a not really great
theory. That is absolutely hilarious. But I just find it funny because it gets to the bigger question, right? We live in a world where it is assumed that there's a problem between faith and science.
Right.
And there are many people who believe that... the problem with faith is that science disproves it or something. I mean, people believed that in the 18th century when they knew like nothing.
No, it's now the opposite. The committed scientific materialists or scientific atheists that are twisting themselves into pretzels to formulate these speculative cosmological theories to get around things like the fine-tuning or the evidence for a beginning that we've had since the 1920s. And with the Big Bang Theory.
Well, again, this is what I just find so funny because, even I can see that it only becomes more difficult. Like something has happened, and who knew that this would happen, that science would inevitably point us more and more and more and more and more to the God hypothesis. You don't have to like it. You don't have to accept it. But you have to deal with it. And that's basically what you're dealing with in the new book, The Return of the God Hypothesis.
Right, exactly.
So what else is in that book that we're not talking about?
Well, the two books I've done to this point are about the evidence for design at two key points in the history of life, the origin of the first life and then the origin of animal life.
But in the Cambrian explosion.
Very good.
Only about 550 million years ago.
When I was on a talk show with one of your colleagues, Dennis Miller, he says, so Stevie, tell me about this Caribbean explosion thing, he says.
That's right. So, he's like, no, that's a drink.
Yeah. Anyway, what I'm doing in this book, I reprise those biological design arguments. But then I say, well, let's look. What else do we know that might help us identify the designer, to paint a profile of the kind of intelligence that would be necessary to account for not just the evidence of design in biology, but the whole ensemble of evidence that we have about biological and cosmological origins? What could explain that fine-tuning? If the multiverse just leads to a begging of the question and saying, well, you know, pushing the origin of that fine-tuning back one degree of separation without answering it. What do we know? What kind of, then intelligent design really does look to be a better explanation. But now that intelligent design must have been present from the very beginning of the universe. It must have been capable of building that into the beginning of the universe. And that starts to look like an intelligence which transcends the universe itself.
Okay, that's the key, right?
Right.
You say not just at the beginning of the universe, but clearly at some point before the beginning of the universe.
Exactly.
And if you're talking about something before the beginning of the universe, you're talking about something before time.
Well, and the developments in cosmology proper have reinforced that in a really powerful way. I'll tell the story tomorrow in my talk in the morning about the discovery of the expanding universe and the going in the other direction, the discovery that the universe had a beginning, now called the Big Bang Theory.
Folks, this is a Socrates in the City event that we're airing on the Eric Metaxas Show. My guest is Dr. Stephen Meyer.
Where are those happy days? They seem so hard to find. I tried to reach for you, but you have closed your mind. Whatever happened to our love? I wish I understood. It used to be so nice. It used to be so good.
Albin, I got to tell you something that's becoming a problem for me.
What?
Whenever I see a person in pain, including my family, right? Maybe they're neck pain, back pain, they're limping or something. I always go up to them and tell them about Relief Factor.
Oh,
I'm not a nosy person. I'm not a Budinsky, but sometimes I can't help myself because it's helped me. So I feel sort of obligated. I've known that it's gotten some people out of, like, it's changed their lives. Now, Pete and Seth Talbot, that's the father-son owners of Relief Factor. They send me all kinds of testimonials from people whose lives have been changed. People who, for example, couldn't even drive a car because they couldn't turn the key to start the car. They couldn't golf, or they couldn't cook because they couldn't even open a jar. I mean, it's right. But now a lot of them, their lives have been changed because they took the first step of ordering the 3-week quick start pack for $19.95. So let me be a Budinsky. Are you in pain? If so, go to ReliefFactor.com. Folks, ReliefFactor.com, 800-500-8384.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Stock market have you nervous? With all the recent fluctuations, it's hard to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Our technology can forecast market trend changes with up to 86% accuracy. That's right, 86%. Founded by artificial intelligence software developers, Vantage Point gives traders and investors the advantage you need to stay ahead of market trends and better protect yourself from sudden downturns. Vantage Point's patented proprietary technology is able to analyze massive quantities of data all around the world in seconds. No more guessing when to get out or when to stay, buying too high and selling too low. Text money to 411-411. That's MONEY to 411-411. We'll send you a link to our free demo so you can kick off the new year in the black with Vantage Point Software. Text money to 411-411.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
You know I love AMAC. I love what they stand for. Smaller government. I love the value they pass on to their members. A fantastic endorsed partner of AMAC are my good friends at Pure Talk USA. Just like how AMAC wants to take the pork barrel out of government, Pure Talk wants to trim the fat off your wireless bill. Here's the deal. If you're an AMAC member or a new customer, you're eligible for wireless plans for as little as $10 a month. $10 a month. And if you're an AMAC member, Pure Talk will add 3 years to your AMAC membership for free. Stop overpaying for wireless. Make the switch to Pure Talk USA. Their network covers 99% of Americans. Their customer service is based in the U.S., and they're veteran-run. You can even keep your phone and your number. Get talk, text, and data for as little as $10 a month when you dial #250 and say the keyword Mike Gallagher. That's all. Dial #250 and say Mike Gallagher. They make it so easy to switch. #250, promo code Mike Gallagher, Pure Talk USA. Simply smarter wireless.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
My story begins with debt, a lot of debt, credit card debt, and I heard a commercial for Trinity. I gave them a call.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
When I first called, I was a little embarrassed and kind of ashamed, and I looked at the numbers, and I saw how quickly that astronomical debt that was in my life would go away.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
What I would tell other people, please pick up the phone and call Trinity. Just let them put together a program and see how affordable and easy it is to pay off your debt.
Call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976.
Folks, this is a special episode of the Eric Metaxas Show. We are airing a conversation I had at Socrates in the City with the scientist and author Stephen Meyer. It is absolutely spectacular. Tune in, please.
In 1968, after most of the observational evidence was now pointing to a beginning of the universe, right. Stephen Hawking, working with the Oxford physicist Roger Penrose, proved something called the singularity theorem. We go back, we were talking about gravity a little bit ago. The new Einsteinian view of gravity is that if you have a massive body, it's curving the space around it. And Hawking was studying as a PhD student black holes, which are places where there's so much mass concentrated that it curves space so tightly that not even light can get out. And as he was working on that, he got to thinking about, well, what would happen? How does this apply to the whole cosmos? Because if the universe is expanding in the forward direction of time and matter is getting more and more dissipated, dispersed, in the reverse direction of time, as you back extrapolate, you get to the point where matter would be getting more and more densely compacted, space would be getting more and more tightly curved, matter would be getting more and more densely compacted, and the math showed that at some point in the finite past, there would be a point where the curvature of space would go to an infinite corresponding to zero spatial volume. And what I used to like to ask my students is this: how much stuff can you put in no space? And common sense is no things go in no space. And so the new cosmology is moving in a decidedly anti-materialistic direction. Because if you want to explain the origin of the universe as a singularity in matter, space, time, and energy, you need a different kind of cause outside of matter, space, time, and energy. And many cosmologists and astronomers, Sandage being one, recognize that that had, frankly, theistic implications. That we are now painting a profile of the cause that really only God, in the way that Jews and Christians have portrayed him, has the qualifications.
And why do you say that? In other words, what if somebody says there is some intelligence, but not a personal intelligence? Is that possible? In other words, when you talk about where the scientific evidence is leading, number one, it leads us to the idea that there's a designer. But when you talk about the character of that designer or the identity of that designer, what is it exactly that's pointing to that designer being the God of the Jewish and Christian Bible?
Well, by that I mean a theistic creator who is transcendent and intelligent and active in the creation.
So, like, not Zeus.
Not Zeus, not a space alien, not a deistic creator. Deism wouldn't explain the evidence of biological design because a deistic creator only acts at the beginning. A theistic creator of the kind that is depicted in the Judeo-Christian scriptures acts at the beginning but then is active in the creation after time equals zero as well. So what I do in the book is I look at the ensemble of evidence. From the Big Bang, you get transcendence. And you find this even in the materialistic theories, that they attempt to formulate some sort of other universes to account for what's going on in this one. That's a form of transcendence. Problem is they end up begging the question as to things like fine-tuning.
Right.
But from the fine-tuning, the most natural thing to infer from that is a designing intelligence. But that designing intelligence must be operating from the beginning. And so when you conjoin the evidence from cosmology concerning the beginning of the universe with the evidence from physics concerning the fine-tuning of the universe, you get a transcendent intelligence as the best explanation, what would be necessary to explain the effect. And then when you add the biological evidence downstream...
The biological evidence. So what you said is that if we're not talking about intelligent design, before we get to this concept of intelligent design, we can talk about a God who is outside of time and space who created the universe. When we add intelligent design...
In biology, then you can see that wouldn't be a deistic creator because then...
Okay, but a lot of people, including myself, are always unclear on deistic, theistic. So what you mean is that initially there's a God outside of time and space who creates the universe. But intelligent design says that science says that God is active after the creation of the universe.
That's the evidence we have.
That's the evidence.
These infusions
currently.
Of information that are necessary to build new forms of life come well after the beginning. And so deism holds that God created the universe in the beginning, but then has had a hands-off policy
ever
since.
The watchmaker, clockmaker,
blind,
God.
Yeah. And so what I do in the book is I examine all these, the scientific case for the beginning, the scientific case for the fine-tuning, and then the scientific case for the evidence of design in biology with these big infusions of information. And then I step back and I say, all right, now we can have a scientific hypothesis, the universe had a beginning. We have a scientific hypothesis or a philosophical hypothesis that there was design at the beginning. We compare that to the multiverse. I argue there are reasons to prefer a theistic design hypothesis over the multiverse. But then I step back and I look at, well, what if we took the big worldview systems of thought, theism, deism, pantheism, the Eastern philosophical system, and materialism, and look at which and treat them as hypotheses. Call it a metaphysical hypothesis, a worldview hypothesis, scientific hypothesis, I don't care. We just want to know which one best explains this ensemble of evidence we have about biological and cosmological origins. Which one explains it best? Well, deism could explain the fine-tuning and the origin of the universe, right, the cosmology piece, but it doesn't do a good job of explaining the biology evidence.
Right.
The space alien hypothesis might, I'm really dubious on this, but might explain the biological design evidence, but it can't explain the cosmology of the physics.
Because even an alien can't create the Big Bang.
Can't, because it operates, it exists within the universe instead of expanding from that point forward.
Right.
And then if we look at pantheism, which makes God and matter coextensive, it's the same thing.
Right.
So it has the same problem materialism does. It has no transcendent entity to refer to, nothing beyond.
Right. God is inside time and space, and the universe had a time and space in the universe created in
well
the first
said.
Place.
Yeah. Materialism can't explain any of these things because in materialism, there's nothing beyond matter, space, time, and energy to do the causing, if you will, when you're talking about the origin of the universe or the origin of the fine-tuning. And then when you get to the biological design case, that's a big argument I made in the books that we lack a materialistic explanation for information.
Folks, you're listening to my Socrates in the City conversation with Stephen Meyer. This is the Eric Metaxas Show.
Waking up over and over to urinate is not okay. But now you can reduce those nighttime bathroom trips with the ingredients in Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced. We're talking about less urges to urinate at night, less bathroom trips during the day, and better bladder emptying.
It's like taking three prostate supplements in one.
You can try a full 30-day bottle of P3 Advanced, free. Just pay shipping and handling. No strings attached, no obligations, and no commitments to buy. This is a 30-day supply, absolutely free. Call 1-800-424-8908. Super Beta Prostate is the best-selling brand in major retailers like Walmart. But for this no-strings-attached free bottle, you must call now. Call 1-800-424-8908. Don't miss out on this unprecedented free offer. 1-800-424-8908. 1-800-424-8908.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. President Trump today became the first sitting U.S. president to speak in person at the March for Life rally. He told the crowd that unborn children have never had a stronger defender in the White House. One Republican senator says Democrats are making a false claim in their effort to remove President Trump from office.
House impeachment managers claim President Trump abused his office in asking Ukraine to investigate former Vice President Biden because any charges of corruption had been debunked. Senator Lindsey Graham isn't so sure.
I don't accept the idea this has been looked at and there's no there there.
Nor does Graham buy the idea that the former vice president knew nothing of his son's lucrative paycheck from a Ukrainian company.
Now, if you don't know one of your family members is getting $87,000 a month from the most corrupt gas company in the Ukraine.
In Graham's words, you're not looking very hard. Bob Agnew, Capitol Hill.
This is SRN News.
Bastian Gorka here. Maybe you've been hearing about Relief Factor, the 100% drug-free supplement that helps a person's body deal with inflammation and pain. You've heard all the wonderful testimonials. Well, I have my own testimonial. For many years, my lower back pain was becoming a serious problem. The short story is, I finally gave it a try, and now I'm out of pain too. So if you're in pain, you can order the 3-week quick start for just $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com.
I want to keep my heart healthy, so I get my cholesterol checked regularly. And when my doctor told me my cholesterol was borderline, I found Garlique. According to my pharmacist, there's an ingredient in garlic that helps maintain healthy cholesterol. And one Garlique tablet is equal to a whole clove of garlic, except it's odor-free. Yep, I'm doing what I can for my cholesterol, and I'm doing it with Garlique.
Garlique, cholesterol's natural enemy. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed.
Hey folks, this is a special episode of the Eric Metaxas Show. We are airing a conversation I had at Socrates in the City with the scientist and author Stephen Meyer.
You know, you're saying that now you have put this together in such a way that if we had to guess based on the evidence, based on the scientific evidence, whether there's a God and whether that God is like the God of the Bible, we would at this point, because of the evidence, have to say yes.
I would say we can infer a God with those attributes, transcendence, intelligence, great power, and a God who is active in the creation on the basis of the evidence that we have in the natural world. We can move from that evidence to that hypothesis as a best explanation for the evidence itself. We don't get proofs in science of the deductive form that you get in mathematics,
right,
or of the ability, in the case of any historical science, we can't observationally verify that because all these things happened a long time ago. But Darwin couldn't either.
Right.
There's a different type of scientific reasoning we're using, and it's sometimes called the method of multiple competing hypotheses or the method of inferring to the best explanation. It's the method that Darwin used. And it's the method that we use first to make the case for intelligent design, and the method that I use to argue that the best candidate for that designing intelligence is actually a God who has the attributes that Jews and Christians have long affirmed.
I mean, but even taking it out of the realm of science, it's the method all of us use if we're thinking logically about
right.
Is it this, or this? In a murder mystery, this is what you're doing. This is what our brains do. And so really ultimately, Stephen, what you're saying, therefore, strikes me as historic and extremely exciting. Do you have a sense of what you have?
I'm tremendously excited about it. In part, it's so fun to do this interview here because the idea of this germinated for me on February 10th, 1985, listening to these amazing scientists. And I realized I want to be part of this. And I took, because of my relationship with Charles Thaxton, who mentored me, I took a deep dive on this origin of life question, and it took me till 2009 to get that book out. And I had a lot of people asking, are you ever going to write that book?
Right.
But I've now had the opportunity to come back to this and pull all these threads together. And it's a little sense, just personally in my life, a sense that my colleague Paul Nelson says, nothing goes to waste. And there's a sense that, yeah, all these side eddies, these great conversations I've had, some of the tremendous scientists I've met, the philosophers, the debates I've had with people on the other side of the question, I know how they're thinking and I know what their objections are. And so in the book, I make the positive case and then I respond one by one to these objections. And I am excited. I do feel like that we've landed the argument in the right place. I definitely don't want to overstate this. This isn't a proof.
I do want to overstate.
Yeah, but I do think if you stand back and look at this, the universe had a beginning. The universe has been finely tuned since the beginning for life. And there have been big infusions of information into the cosmos, into the universe at periodic episodes after the beginning. When you add all that up, that looks like theism to me, not like materialism, not like pantheism, not like deism, and certainly not like space alienism.
And when I add up what you just said, it sounds like the return of the God hypothesis is going to be a huge bestseller. That's my hypothesis. It's just a friend.